The only program I hope that anybody can trust me to support is the one found in the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy, that which is found in the Church's manuals and working policies, friends. I cannot support if it's contrary to the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. So, continuing in this chapter that I came and had to read over again, I go across the page to page 15. And again, addressing the people under the Alpha of Apostasy, friends, here's what was wrong that caused the church to go into the Alpha of Apostasy. And it says, our physicians have lost a great deal out of their lives because they have, number one, seen wrong transactions. Number two, heard wrong words spoken. Number three, seen wrong principles followed. And have not spoken in reproof for fear that they would be repulsed. Now the yoke of man, friends, silences you, so that you will not object to a policy of the church that is contrary to the Spirit of Prophecy. Like the football games that are carried on our campuses of all of our colleges. And they're playing other schools, friends. You go back in our history and you'll find that at the time that Sister White said, do not send your children to Battle Creek, that is what was going on in Battle Creek College. And anything else, friends, that is contrary to the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy, a yoke of man says, don't speak out, be a loyal Seventh Day Adventist. Are you wearing that yoke? Have you refrained from speaking out when something, well, as it says here, you have what? Seen wrong transactions. Maybe you've said, like the monkeys that the Japanese think are so great, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. That is a pagan doctrine, friends. It's on all the Buddhist and Shinto temples over in Japan. That's where it came from. It is not scriptural. Sister White says, have you seen? Not have you put your hands over your eyes so you would not see. She says here, have you heard? Not put your hands over your ears so you would not hear. And have you seen wrong principles followed? And have not what? Spoken in reproof. Because of what? You thought you might be repulsed, called a condemner, criticizer, fault finder? It worked, friends, for years. It worked on me. I wore a yoke of silence when I should have spoken out, and yet the brethren always did think I was speaking out too much. But I kept quiet too often, friends. The last, I suppose, 10 years of my ministry, I spoke out against life insurance, and the churches that I pastored voted not to buy the General Conference life insurance and accident insurance plan. The brethren threatened to close the school. They said I was threatening the whole conference insurance program. They called me disloyal. They called me everything in the books that they used to call names by. I could not go along. But I had to be quiet enough to keep that getting that paycheck coming in, friends. A yoke of silence. Don't speak in reproof. The term they love to use is leave the brethren in God's hands. If things need adjusting at the heart of the work, what? Okay, friends, because you folks did not speak out. Because you have worn this yoke of silence. God is taking care of it in the newspapers of today. For the whole world to read about the corruption among the leadership of the Seventh-day Adventists in their investments. And that is not anywhere near the whole story. I haven't seen an article yet that mentioned the kickbacks. And the favors that Davenport did for them if they would invest church funds with him. Yes, God will take care of it, friends, but how much better it would have been if we had taken care of it inside instead of waiting to let God splash it across the newspaper headlines and into court. And everything wrong with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that for years we have worn the yoke of silence, and the brethren have eased us by saying, God will take care of it. Everything wrong with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, friends, is going to be taken care of either by God as he's taking care of this Davenport deal, or you folks are going to speak up and take care of it before God goes that far. It's all prophesied, friends, in the books. Do you think this is the one I want? Volume 5. And here Sister White, in the chapter on the ceiling, makes an interesting statement. The abominations for which the faithful ones, now these are the ones, friends, that did not wear the yoke of silence. Page 211, bottom paragraph. The abominations for which the faithful ones were sighing and crying were all that could be discerned by finite eyes. But by far the worst sins, those which provoked the jealousy of a pure and holy God, were unrevealed. The great searcher of hearts knoweth every sin committed in secret by the workers of iniquity. These persons come to feel secure in their deceptions, and because of his long suffering, say that the Lord seeth not, and then act as though he had forsaken the earth. But he will detect their hypocrisy and will open before others those sins which they were so careful to hide. He's done it, friends. He's done it. I used to read that and say, why don't you do it, Lord? Why did the church get in the mess it's in? Because we have worn the yoke of silence for fear of being repulsed. We have been taught to accept and not speak out. We have been like those monkeys of the Japanese. We've put our hands over our eyes and stuffed our fingers in our ears. Literally, friends, a few years back at Lake Tahoe after church one day, the deacon and the elder came to me and they says, they were new. They hadn't been there. They didn't know what had gone on. We want to know what went on. And I started to tell them. And they said, we don't believe it. I says, all right, fine. You can come over to the house and I'll show you the documentation I have. And that scared them. And they said, we don't want to see it. Keep it! Covering their eyes up. Friends, there is no virtue in ignorance. There is no merit in silence. In fact, friends, if you don't wear the yoke of Christ and you insist on wearing this yoke imposed upon you by the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, which Sister White says, break it. She called upon the leadership to take it off your necks. They have put it on your necks. The leadership have never taken it off your necks, even though she appealed almost 100 years ago for them to put it off the necks of the people. You've got to take it off. They will not. Now, God will remove that yoke from off the necks of the people. If he has to, friends, the whole thing is going down the drain. But the sad part is that it will frighten many people because they will feel so uncomfortable without a yoke. And without the yoke of Jesus, friends, they're lost. And so they desperately cling to the idea it's going through, it's going to get straightened out. when the prophet doesn't say any such thing. On the contrary, friends, and this is really another study, that after describing the omega of apostasy in here, and this is one of the sad things about the book on omega published by the denomination, and friends, they cannot say they didn't know about it because Elder Pearson published this very paragraph in the Ministry magazine and called it the omega while he was General Conference President. And in his farewell address, which was published in the Review and Herald, he quoted the identical paragraph and called it the omega. And then somebody writes a book, and I'm not saying the writer did it or the editors, I don't know which, and they did not include this paragraph, a description of the omega, in the book on the omega. Can you imagine that?